We're going to go into our message this morning. Are we okay? I'm going to get you guys moving around if we stay quiet. And you don't know what that means. If you're new here, we're not going to freak you out. It's okay. We're good. He's like, what is he going to do? All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to two places, Luke chapter 11 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Luke 11, and we're actually going to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we are going to have the scripture up on screen as well, so you can follow along. But 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to talk about prayer. Everybody say prayer. Prayer. And when we talk about prayer and we're talking about having an active prayer life, we really need to kind of start with a definition or an understanding of what does it mean to pray? What is prayer? Right? And if you've been in the church for some time, maybe you've heard some definitions, maybe you've seen people pray, maybe you've heard something like, prayer is a humble request made known to God. Has anybody heard that one before? Anybody? It's a humble request made known to God. But I would argue that prayer is actually, that is just a sliver of what prayer actually is. Now, should we make our request be made known to God? Does Scripture tell us to do this? Come on, church, does Scripture tell us to do this? Yes. Let your request be made known to God. And so making a humble request is a part of prayer, but prayer is so much greater. It's more than just something that we do before we go to bed. It's more than something that we just do on a Sunday morning when we gather together as a church. Those things are just a small part of prayer. And I want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. And it says this. It says, verse 16, rejoice always. Everybody say rejoice always. That sounds like a task. Yeah, because we like to wallow. We like to kind of, you know, complain a little bit. We like to point out the things that aren't going well. But Scripture's saying very clearly, rejoice always. How can a believer, how can someone who has received the gift of Jesus Christ, why is it that we can rejoice always? It is because of the gravity of the gift that we have received. No matter how bad anything else is, how many of you know what we have received in Jesus is so much greater, right? Our bank accounts are always, our spiritual bank accounts are always overflowing because of the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So even when it's bad, how many of you know it's good? Even when there's persecution, how many of you know it's really good? Because we have Jesus, amen? It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we see right away that prayer is something that is supposed to be happening without what? Ceasing. Without ceasing. If prayer is verbal only, how many of you know it is really difficult to pray without ceasing? Did you know that? If it is constantly, if all prayer is making requests to God, then it is going to be impossible to pray without ceasing. Because how many of you know there's things that you need to do, right? You have to go to work. You have to have conversations. You have to get married. You have to, there's all these things and all these conversations and life that is taking place. And so when Scripture says pray without ceasing, how many of you know this is more than just a verbal prayer? This is more than just making requests known to God. Scripture is telling us that we are to pray without ceasing. Say without ceasing. Good. Now let's look at Luke 11, starting at verse 1. It says, now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased. Well, hold on. What did Jesus do? He ceased. Now, the Greek words are two different words. The Greek in 1 Thessalonians literally means without ceasing, without stopping. And this one right here is actually more of a pause or a transition. Jesus was transitioning into something new. But it says that when Jesus was praying in a certain place, it says that he ceased. And one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray
as John taught his disciples. And so Jesus said to them, when you pray, say. Everybody say that. When you pray, say. Let's say it again. When you pray, say. And he goes on, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want us to notice that the first thing that prayer does, prayer invites prayer. I'm going to say it again. Prayer invites prayer. Notice, Jesus was himself praying. He was praying, and the disciples saw it, and they too said, Lord, we want to pray. How many of you know when people begin to pray, prayer begins to rise? Did you know that? When you come into an atmosphere of praise and worship, when you come into an atmosphere of prayer where people are calling out to the Lord, there is something contagious about that spiritually where all of a sudden I find myself too beginning to pray or desiring to pray. I remember when I was very young, I was 4 or 5 years old. I remember my dad, he was at this church. I believe they were interim pastors at a church in Prairie du Chien. And I remember I was at the church and I was doing kid things, right? Like I was running around the church doing what pastors' kids do, probably drinking the communion juice and all these other things. And who knows what other mischief I was getting into, drawing on the bulletins. I don't know. But I remember him, it was in the evening, and I remember him on his knees and he was praying in the Spirit. Now, if you don't know what that is a spiritual language that the Lord gives us. And at the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, we see it in the book of Acts, that as the Holy Spirit was poured out, they began to speak in other tongues and other languages, and they began to pray in the tongues of men and of angels. And so there is this spiritual language that is available to believers, and he was praying in the Spirit. And I was like, Dad, what are you doing? Like, I'm 4 or 5 years old. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? And he said, I'm praying in the Spirit. And I remember him saying, do you want to pray in the Spirit? And I said, yeah, I want to pray in the Spirit. And so he said, okay. And so he laid his hands on me. He prayed over me. He says, okay, let's pray in the Spirit. And we began to pray in the Spirit. How many of you know it can really just be that easy? But there's something about, my parents are here, by the way. Can we say hi to them? Welcome them. Legends. Absolute legends. But prayer invites prayer. I remember my son. I'm going to brag on my oldest son a little bit here. He's not here with us today. He's visiting friends out of state. But I remember he played football, and I remember he began to just go before the game, and he began to go kneel in the end zone. He would say a prayer, and then he would go, and they would play the football game. And I remember about halfway through the season, there was probably 40 other kids also in the end zone praying. Prayer invites prayer. How many of you know that prayer is something that not only are we to be doing, it invites others to also begin to pray? By the way, that to this day, they still do that. There's not like 80 of the 120 kids are in the end zone praying right before the game. That's powerful. Somebody say amen. So the first thing that we see is that, number one, prayer invites prayer. Everybody say that. Prayer invites prayer. And so when we begin to pursue the Lord, it invites other people in our lives to do the same thing. So if you want your children to grow up praying and to be people of prayer, you should start praying, right? If you want your spouse to begin praying, you should begin praying, right? If you want people in your workplace to begin praying, maybe begin praying, right? And so when we pursue the Lord, it invites others to do the same. And so Jesus says this. He says, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. So we see that, number one, our prayers are to also be verbal. But I think sometimes we make those words synonymous, that prayer is nothing more than just speaking and making requests. But how many of you know prayer, praying, and saying are actually not synonymous? Too often times, as believers, we actually begin to say before we pray. We begin to just go through our prayer list. And I don't know about you, but maybe you have a prayer list and there's things that you're just praying and believing for. And so maybe before you go to bed, you just start bam, 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 right? You can knock that out in about what? 2 minutes, right? Right? Anybody? You can knock out your prayer list in about 2 minutes. And what did we do? Did we make requests? Yes. But we were probably saying before we were actually even really praying. They're not synonymous. You see, typically what wears people out is that we have a whole lot of saying and not a whole lot of actually praying. And so if 1 Thessalonians 5:2 tells us to pray without ceasing, it can't just be limited to talking, although speaking and saying is a part of prayer. Now, there are certain things that we have to speak. Somebody say amen. What does Scripture say about giving your life to the Lord? It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Christ, that God raised him from the dead, what happens? You will be saved. So when we declare Jesus is Lord and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, Scripture says you will be saved. There are prayers that must be released vocally. There are prayers that must be said. But sometimes we just start talking, and rather than praying, by coming into his presence, by allowing the Spirit to begin to move and releasing those requests. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Some of the most powerful, powerful prayer gatherings that I've ever had happen alone in my room. How many of you know an abiding life must always first find its place in the secret life? If you want to have a life where you are abiding with the Lord Jesus, it must first happen when no one else is around and when nobody else is looking. But that is who Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to become like him, to be transformed into his image. But in order for us to become who he's called us to be, we must have that abiding life. How many of you know Sunday's just not enough? Did you know that? It's just not enough because too many other things are said to you, about you, and through you every other day of the week. But that we would be people who abide in the true vine and allow that life of Jesus, allow that life to be poured out into our hearts and into us. And so the abiding life must always happen first in the secret life. But the way that we pray, the way that we really pray prayers that move heaven, are we coming to his presence with thanksgiving and we begin to worship the Lord? And I just begin to give thanks to the Lord. I usually put on a YouTube playlist, right? I put on some background worship and I start singing my own songs. And it's not always good, guys. It's not always good. But I'm giving praise to the Lord. And sometimes I'll sing the words and sometimes I come back and I'm going back and forth. And when I pray, when I'm worshiping, I'm in his presence and the Holy Spirit begins to show me things that I need to be praying. How many of you know real prayer, prayers that actually move heaven, is when we don't just make it happen, but we join him in prayer? Do you guys hear what I'm saying? We first tap into his presence. We come into his presence with thanksgiving, with praise on our lips. Scripture says that's how we come into the presence of the Lord. And we shut the door in our room. We pray. We praise the Lord. We come into his presence. And then as I'm praising, all of a sudden people start coming to mind and situations and or nations or people or situations or national, whatever it is. And I begin to join him in prayer rather than just conjuring up my own prayer list. Amen. Listen to Psalm 109, verse 1 through 4. It says this. It says, do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Oh, how powerful that is. Welcome to the Christian life. How many of you know Jesus promised this? That if you are living a holy and righteous life, it is promised that people will slander you and talk negatively about you and have no problem saying it. And they will say that your life is not holy, even though it is holy. And so it is a promise not just to be misunderstood, but for someone in your life to actually even make stuff up and have no problem saying it. But notice verse 4, it says, in return for my love, they are my accusers. But notice, but I give myself to prayer. Everybody say, I give myself to prayer. That phrase, I give myself to prayer, is more accurately translated, I have become prayer. I have become prayer. Number three, prayer is not so much something as it is someone. I'm going to say that again because this is really important. Prayer is not so much something. It's not so much an activity. Prayer is someone. It is the activity of another. It is an activity of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 12:10 says, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. When it says that, it says that the spirit of grace, that means the spirit of empowerment and supplication, that is prayer. So what the Holy Spirit literally is, the spirit of power to pray. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of power to pray. And so if we want to be people of prayer, if we want to have a prayer life, to be able to pray without ceasing, it's not just about praying, don't bother me, pray, right? No, it is about being with him and partnering with him. Somebody say amen. Let me ask you a question. What do you call someone who runs? A runner. What do you call someone who gardens? What? A gardener. What do you call someone who prays? A prayer. So a prayer is not so much just an activity you do. Prayer is someone you join. It is a joining. The effective prayer of a believer is the activity of the Holy Spirit. That's why so often when someone comes up for prayer and they say, hey, can you lay hands on me and pray for healing? I know what the Bible says about healing. I know what I believe about healing. I have a theology of what that looks like and what God will do. But how many of you know I don't actually just lay hands and just start praying according to my understanding, to what I think? What I do is I lay my hands on them and I begin to pray in the Spirit. And I begin to pray in the Spirit, and I begin to pray what I feel, sense the Lord is speaking over that person. And those are the effective prayers. Amen? Those are effective. Can we declare scripture over our lives? Yes. Can we make requests be made known to God? Yes. But it's more than just that. And this is what I want us to understand. If the Lord is calling this to be a house of prayer, we have to be people of prayer. And what does it mean to actually be people of prayer? It means to be people who abide with him, who are with him. And how many of you know a holy moment with the Lord can actually be you coming to the Lord and giving him your full attention? Did you know that can be holy to the Lord? That's a holy moment. How many of you know that is prayer, where you are coming in and you are joining the activity of the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, if he begins to show you things and things that to be praying, you begin to pray them out loud. And then what do? You go back and you sit with the Lord. You just sit in his presence. And so prayer is more about waiting and joining than it is creating or doing. And this is the way we are to carry unceasing prayer. You see, when the heart is praying, you can actually have a job and not wear people out. When the heart is praying, you can actually be around unbelievers and they just see it on you. You not only are you praying and maybe they don't know, you literally, because it is in you, it is who you are, it is in you, you have literally become prayer. And so the Lord is calling us to a life of prayer. And this is number four, and we talked about it briefly. The abiding life of prayer finds its origin in the secret life. Jesus said it this way on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:6. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. If this is to be a house of prayer, we need to be people who become prayer, who give themselves to prayer. And how many of you know the Lord not only hears the prayers of the church, he wants to answer the prayers of the church. And we think, well, like, if God wants to do it, can't he just do it? He has called us and is using us to bring redemption to this world until the coming of Jesus Christ, meaning that it is our job to be salt and light. It is our assignment to declare the good news of who he is and to contend for the reality on heaven to come on earth and that his will would be done. How many of you know he's given us a job? He's given us an assignment. And as we spend time in his presence, being with him and knowing him and becoming a friend of God, as we do those things, God begins to move and he begins, I want you to pray over this person. I want you to pray about this situation. You see, this is what it means to have a life of prayer. There's a few definitions of prayer that I love. Number one, prayer is God doing all things in us. The Lord calls us to a life of prayer. And notice what the psalmist writes. He says, I have become prayer. It's very similar to when the apostle Paul writes, I have become an epistle to you. In other words, my life is a letter to you. It is just who I am. It's what I carry. When we have a life of prayer and we become prayer, it is evident to all. It's something that you wear. It's something that no matter where you go, it is who you are. You see, when you find a true life of prayer, a co-union with God, your life becomes a message. How many of you know when your life becomes the message, just by being in a room, you are preaching? I love how Susie said it. She said it a couple weeks ago. She says, go into every room like you were sent there. That means no matter where I go, I carry him. No matter where I go, his presence is in me. My life is a message. Because of my countenance, my character, my consistency, it is Jesus in us. It is Jesus in us, and we become like him. And then the other definition, prayer is the turning of the heart towards God. Can you imagine what that looks like? That if you're walking through the halls of a school and you're hearing all the stuff, you are walking down and you're saying, God, my heart belongs to you. Do you realize what kind of a difference that makes in that atmosphere? Lord, would you speak to me? Would you show me the things? Lord, my heart belongs to you. And you just go through that hall. Or if you're in your workplace, And there's just stuff going on, and there's people, and there's slander, and there's just a toxic atmosphere, yet you come in and say, God, my heart is set on you. My heart is on you. What a difference. Listen to this. David, who was a man known as a man after God's own heart, there were many titles that David could have given himself. My favorite would have been Giant Slayer. That's really cool. Giant Slayer, the Slayer of 10,000s, the Builder of the City of Jerusalem, the City of the Most High God, right? Like, he could have had title after title after title. But in Psalm chapter 18, David is writing about himself at the end of his life, and he was very careful about what he wrote. Before wanting to be known as a warrior, he wanted to be known as a lover of God. And in Psalm 18, verse 1, he says this. He says, I will love you, O Lord. You are my strength. I will love you, O Lord. You are my strength. Do you want to overcome your enemy? Do you want to have endurance to the end? Then this is your answer. Become a lover of Jesus. When the situations get tough and the weight gets heavy, when the disappointment is real, do you want to be able to endure and to pray prayers that move heaven? Do you want to have strength to not be overcome? Then my encouragement is this: become a lover of Jesus. Find prayer. Find the presence of the Spirit. Surrender your heart so he can work in you and through you. Amen. We need God to move. We need God to move because the world is filled with darkness, hatred, anger. It's all around. We have all heard the reports. We've all heard the news, the assassinations, the killings, the murders, the anger, the racial tensions, all these things. And every time I hear them, I just there's something in me that breaks and says, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. You're the only answer. How many of you know there's no other answer besides Jesus? It's not a political party. It's not political leaders. Those are the strategies of the world. And do we want to pray for our leaders? Yes. Do we pray for our nation? Yes. But Lord Jesus, would you come? Because you're the one we really need. Amen? And so we need to be people of prayer. Because the prayer of the righteous is effective. I'm going to say it again. The prayer of the righteous is effective. I'm going to say it again. The prayer of the righteous is effective. And maybe you're here today and you're like, well, I don't know if I'm righteous. Like, you don't know what I said the other day. You don't know what I did. Listen, if there are things in your life that you need covered by the blood of Jesus, you need to repent of those things. And guess what? You are covered and washed clean. Now come in and begin to call on heaven. Begin to pray. It's not about what you've earned. It's not about having a title. It's not about being on a platform. It is about having a heart that is lifted before the Lord and saying, Lord, we need you. Lord, I want you. Lord Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you come into our world, right? Would you come and move and do what only you can do? But that we would have hearts that would say, yes, Lord, I will do that. I will be a person of prayer. Lord, I will be someone who is a friend of God. Listen, the people that have marked me the most in my life are not the best preachers. They're not the best teachers. They're not the ones with the biggest churches. The ones that have marked me are the ones who I know they spend time with Jesus. They know him. They don't just talk about him. They're not just going through slick presentations, saying some good things. No, there is a weight on them, and you can see it because they spend time with him. You see, prayer is not just about doing. It's not just a, yes, should we pray? Yes. Should you do it at regular times? Yes. But when you do it, join the move of the Holy Spirit and begin to give thanks to the Lord and say, Lord, I give my heart to you. And just be in his presence and watch what the Lord will do through you. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Just begin to say, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in my life. Lord, that you are the lover of my soul. Lord, that in you I have life. In you I have the redemption. In you I have the forgiveness of sins, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and that, Lord, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace because of what you've done for us. Lord, we receive your life, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would stir up a fire and a hunger in us, Lord, to be a house of prayer, to be a people of prayer who abide with you, who spend time with you, whose hearts are always before you, Lord Jesus, that we would never lose sight, that we would never lose the wonder, but Lord, that we would be people who are continually set before you, Lord Jesus, ready to worship, ready to respond with obedience, Lord. Lord, that we would never hold back, that we would never hold back from you because, Lord, you are worthy of everything, Lord Jesus. You're worthy of everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With our hands lifted, just begin to talk to the Lord. And whatever it is that you are holding, I'm just going to ask that you would just begin to take those things and lay them at the feet of Jesus. If there's sin in your life, just begin to lay that down. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess that sin, Lord. I confess, Lord, the greed. I confess, Lord, that covetousness, Lord Jesus. I confess pride, Lord. I confess fear, Lord. Whatever it is that has been weighing you down, just begin to lay those things at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I give it all to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I heard a story of a pastor who was before the Lord and was spending time with him. And he said, Lord, what do you want from me? And the Lord said, I just want you to give me your sin. We don't need to carry it anymore. But you would just give it to him. So right now, just begin to say, Lord, I give it all to you. I give that to you, Lord. I don't want to hold it, Lord. If there's addiction in your life, just say, Lord, I give it to you. If there's pain and hurt because people have said things about you, Give him your hurt. He's here. And he loves you. Lord, we give it all to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I pray over every person here, Lord, that you would set a fire in their hearts, Lord, that they would encounter your presence, Lord, that when we go into our room, Lord, and we shut the door, Lord, that we would have real encounters with the holy God, the living God, Lord, that your spirit would come in like a flood, that you would transform hearts, that you would transform minds, Lord, that you would bring healing to mindsets, and Lord, that you would move greatly in our lives, Lord Jesus, Lord, that when we seek you, we would find you, Lord, that you would remove every obstacle, Lord, that would keep us from you, Lord, from every plan of the adversary to take us out, to distract us, to keep us from coming into your presence. Lord, would you make a highway, Lord, for us as we are people of your presence, Lord, people of prayer, Lord. Lord, that you would move in our families, Lord, that you would move in our workplaces, Lord, that those who don't know you would know you because, Lord, your presence is on us because we are being transformed into your image, Lord. Lord, we want more of you and we ask for more in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, let this be a house of prayer, Lord, where you move and you move mightily, Lord, where there are signs, miracles, healings, Lord, salvations, Lord, freedom, peace. Lord, it is who you are, Lord. Let your righteous rule come in Jesus' name. We need you. Say, come, Lord Jesus. Just tell him, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Come. We honor you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord this morning for his word? Amen. Amen. We need God to move. Amen. We need God to move. We need Jesus. And it's not going to happen just by happenstance. We need to invite him. We need to welcome him. We need to worship the Lord. And as we do, the Holy Spirit is poured out. All right. Well, we love you guys. God bless you. You're dismissed. Before you leave, if you need prayer, we have people available to pray with you. Otherwise, talk to someone you maybe you don't know. Introduce yourselves. And we'll see you guys next week. God bless.